We are starting Perek Chaf today. That's the plan. We tried it last week and then got sidelined into a whole different issue, related but and important, but nonetheless. Today we are, our agenda for today is to read chapter 20. To really get a full picture, we have to read the whole Perek, even though it's one of the longer chapters in Sefer Shmuel. And it's a complex story, but
we did read this.
We read the first part. We read the first part. Today I want to kind of we did it at the end of the year. We're going to go back and look at it. Vayivrach David minayot barama vayavo vayomer lifnei Yonatan. Meh asiti ma avoni meh chatati lifnei avicha. David runs from Nayot Barama and he comes before Yonatan. He says to Yonatan, Ma siti, ma avoni, ma chatati, lifnei avicha. What did I do? What was my sin? What was my iniquity? What was my transgression? What did I do wrong? Your father is so focused on destroying me.
It's reminiscent of Yaakov and Laban.
Yeah. Machatati and Machashati, yeah. I'm not quite sure what to do with that, but yeah, I hear the linguistic parallel.
Echo.
Yeah. Vayomer lo, Chalila. Yonatan responds and says, Chalila, lo tamut. You're not going to die. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Chalila. Now, Chalila is an interesting phrase because we typically translate it as God forbid, but really it's an expression of an oath. Chalila is an expression of an oath. It takes an oath. Lo tamut. Hinei lo asa avi davar gadol davar katan v'lo yigle at ozni. Tam, you look lost. Are you with us? Okay, all good. My father would never do anything without letting me know first. Big or small, I'm his confidant. I'm there in the inner circle. Umadu yastir avi mimeni et hadavar hazeh ein zot. My father should hide from me his intention here to have you destroyed? That's not possible.
He doesn't think it's something his father wouldn't do. He just said he hasn't told him about it.
Well, that's also interesting. I guess not, because his father, in the previous chapter, his father's already said he was the one who told David that Shaul is trying to kill him, so or have him killed or is destroyed. But nonetheless, and we're going to go back and compare this to chapter 19. But certainly, he is surprised at the news. In part because his father has never indicated this to him, and he was in the inner circle. There's no way his father would be out trying to kill him if he didn't know about it. Everybody with me? Vayishava od David. So David took another oath. Vayomer. Yadoa yada avicha kimatzati chen be'enecha. Vayomer. Al yida zot Yonatan pen ye'atzev. Ulam chay Hashem v'chei nafshecha ki kefes abeni uven hamavet. So David swears to him, I swear to you, v'yishava, he says. The only reason why you don't know about it is because your father knows how close we are. Yado yada avicha ki metzati chem be'enecha. Your father knows our relationship. And he knows, therefore, that if he told you that he was trying to kill me, and to the extent that this was going on, you would be destroyed by it. You would be distraught by it. But Chai Hashem Mechei Nafshecha, I swear to you on your soul and on the life of the living God, a hair's breadth, kifesa, separates me in death. Kifesa b'ni uven amavet. To which Yonatan, I guess, is a little more convinced that there's something here.
coming back to
him. Vayomer Yonatan al David, Mar tomar nafshecha ve'eselach. What would you like me to do? Whatever you'd like me to do. Vayomer David al Yonatan, Hinei chodesh machar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And the standard procedure is that the king would have a great feast on Rosh Chodesh, and I would be one of the invited guests. V'shilachtani v'nistarti basadeh. Let me go. I will go hide in the field. Ad erev ha-shlishit. Till the third night. Tonight, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, wait till after this meal of Rosh Chodesh, and I'm going to hide in the field. If your father notices that I'm missing, so you'll tell him, Nishol nisha'am imeni David larutz bet lechem iro, ki zevach hayim shamim lechol ha-mishpacha. You'll make an excuse for me. You'll say, oh, David asked my permission to let him go to a family gathering. His father's birthday. Whatever it is. Zevach Mishpacha. Im koyomar, tov shalom levdecha. If he says shalom, that's fine. Go in peace. Ve'im charo yechanelo, and if he's angry, da ki chaltar amimo, then you'll know that he's really out to kill me. V'asita chesed al avdecha, then act with compassion on your servant. Ki bivrit Hashem mevetet avdecha imach. Your servant has entered into a brit, a pact. We have a blood pact between us. V'imyesh bi avon hamiteni ata v'ad avicha lama zet tvieni. If I've done anything wrong, you kill me. Do not hand me over to your father. V'yomer Yonatan, chalila lach. Yonatan responds, another oath he takes, chalila lach. Ki medo eda, ki chaltar ame imavi, lavoy lecha velo ata agid lach. If I know that my father really has evil intent against you, I would not come and tell you. Vayomer David al Yonatan, mi agid li? David further says to Yonatan, who's going to tell me? Who's going to let me know? How am I going to find out if your father really is out to kill me? Let's go out and take a walk in the fields. And they go out, take a walk, spazier. Yonatan explains the plan to David. Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Again, these constant references to God's name is an expression of an oath. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, on God, the living God of Israel. Yechkortavi, I will investigate this with my father. Ka'et machar hashlishit. Today, tomorrow, third day. We'll figure this out. Vinei tov el David, v'lo azeh shlach elecha v'gilit yotos necha. If all is well with David, then I will certainly go and I will tell you. Or as Mefarshim explained, this is a sentence that ends with a question mark. If all is well, will I not come and tell you? I'll let you, I'll send a messenger to you. I'll let you know. I'll reveal it to your ear. What do you? Of course, I'm going to tell you. Again, language of that denotes an oath on God. Take this this statement. But if my father is ill upon you is revealed, then I too will so inform you, and I'll let you go, send you free, and you may go in peace. May God be with you as God was with my father. And if at that point I'm still alive, V'lo tasei madi chesed Hashem v'lo amut. I want you to do kindness with me and not kill me. V'lo tachlit el chazdecha me'im beti ad olam. Do not abandon my household for eternity. V'lo b'achrit Hashem et oivei David ish mi'apnei adama, when God destroys all of the enemies of David. V'yichrot Yonatan in Beit David, they make a pact, make a brit. V'vikesh Hashem miyad oivei David, when God will seek out all the enemies of David. V'yosef Yonatan lashbia et David, Yonatan made David take an oath. B'avatoto, because he loved him. Ki avat nafsho aivo, he loved him with his soul. Still don't have quite the picture of how Yonatan is going to inform David of this news. We just know that he's committed to doing so. So here we have the plan.
There's so much swearing in this.
Yes, we're going to come back to that issue.
There is
a very significant emphasis on the constant oaths being taken in this parak. This parak is filled with an expression of shavua and brit and commitment, and it's a question we're going to have to address. Bayomelo Yonatan Macha Chodesh. This is where the Haftorah of Macha Chodesh begins. Said Yonatan to David, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. As we've already established, Minei Chodesh Machar, V'nifkadeta ki paked Moshevecha. As David had indicated, right, this was all this part of the plan was David's suggestion back in Pasuk Hey, that your seat being absent will be noticed. V'shilashta tered ma'od, uvata la makom, Ashini start Hashem b'yom ha'maaseh. Go and hide in the place where you hide out in the fields on a work day, on a weekday. V'yashavta etzel even ha'azel. You'll go and hide near some identifiable stone. V'ani shloshet achitzim tzida oreh. I'm going to shoot 3 arrows. L'shalach li l'matara. There's a target. Target practice. They must have had some kind of a mitvach. What do they call it? Shooting range for bows and arrows.
Archery.
And I, Shaul being Yonatan being the crown prince, as well as from Sheva Binyamin, two characteristics that would make him quite a good shot. Doesn't miss very often. He says, "I will shoot 3 arrows." Vine, eshlach et ha'na'ar. I have a na'ar, a caddy, or an armor bearer with me, and I will send him out, and I will give him a message. Lech mitzat achitzim, go find the arrows. Im amor omar lena'ar, hine achitzim mimcha vehena. If I say to the na'ar, I've shot the arrow, and where he's standing, the arrow falls between me and him, and I say to the na'ar, behold, the arrow is between you and me, mimcha vehena, between you closer to me, my side, kachenu, go and get them, vavoa, and come, ki shalom lecha, then you'll know that peace is with you, ve'endava, and there's nothing here, chay Hashem, on God's name, I swear. Vimkoma le'elem, but if I say to the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond you, from you.
Past you.
Hither, thither, thither, hither, thither. Hither is here, there is, thither is there. Right, mimcha v'hala, thither. Lech, go. Because you'll know that God has sent you on a journey. As far as what you and I have agreed, we have spoken, God is a witness that this is between us for eternity. Deliberating in my head whether to stop here or to finish the parak. Let's finish the parak. Vayisater David basadeh. Vayi chodesh. David is out in the fields. Mashchodesh came. Vayeshev HaMelech al Alechem Le'achol. The king sat at his feast, his Rosh Chodesh feast. It's an interesting picture of the world of Rosh Chodesh in the times of Tanakh. Today, Rosh Chodesh is pretty much nothing more than a day to say Hallel. But there was a time when Rosh Chodesh was a monthly chag. In contrast to Yom HaMa'aseh, as it's described here in Pasuk Yutet, which is a work day or a weekday, Rosh Chodesh was considered like a chag. The king had a feast, and people didn't go to work, and no different than a Chol HaMoed day. Vayeshev HaMelech al Moshavo kifam b'fam al Moshav Akir. The king sat on his throne as he or on his bed or on his they would eat on sort of couches. So he sat on his couch as he was to do every other times with his back to the wall. Vayakom Yonatan vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul. Yonatan arose, and Avner, the general of the army, sat next to Shaul, vayipaked makom David, and David's place was acknowledged as absent. Meaning there's a bit of a musical chairs going on, or musical couches. Because normally, you'd have David, and you'd have Shaul, and you have Yonatan sitting next to the king. David is not there, and Yonatan did not sit down next to the king. Instead, he put Avner in his place, and he got up. Where he got went to? It's a question we will see Bezrat Hashem in the Mefarshim. V'lo diber Shaul b'yom yomahu. Shaul that day said nothing. Ki yama mikrehu bilti tahoru ki lo tahor. He said maybe it's a manner of purity. Maybe he's impure today. There's some excuse for him not coming. Maybe he's something happened. Whatever. Being absent one day, it's not such a significant thing. Whereas that sometimes there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, right? So when Vayimi Mocharata Chodesh Hashini, when the next day there was a second day of Rosh Chodesh, and again Vayipakem Mokom David, David's place was absent, then Vayomer Shaul Yonatan Beno, Shaul turns to Yonatan, who he knew was David's best and closest friend. Madua lo ba ben Yishai, gam tmol gam hayom el alachem. Ben Yishai, where is he? Missing. Yesterday, today, didn't come to eat bread. Vayan Yonatan et Shaul. Nishol nishal David meimadi ad bet lachem. Said Yonatan to Shaul. Nishol nishal David requested of me. But it sounds much better in the Hebrew. Shaul made a request. Requested of me a request. Shaul. Nishol nishal. The alliteration here is very powerful. Vayomer Yonatan el Shaul, Nishol nishal David meimi. I have 3 words, one after the other, and with the root of Shin Aleph Lamed. Powerful alliteration. Asked of me leave to go to Beit Lechem. I guess he didn't want to eat the lechem of the king. He went to Beit Lechem of his home. Vayomer Shalcheinina. He said to me, send me. Ki zevach mishpacha lanu ba'ir. We've got a family gathering of offering in the city. V'hu tziva li achi, and he commanded me, my brother, v'ata, now, imatzati chen be'enecha, if I find favor in your eyes, imalta, now let me escape, v'aret achai, and see my brethren. Al ken lo ba'u shuchan ha-melech. He therefore didn't come to the meal of the king. It's an awkward phraseology, this whole paragraph. This whole parak is awkward because the sentence structure here, I don't know if you appreciate it in the translation because I'm giving you a running translation as we go, but the Hebrew is grammatically short on verbs and half sentences and half phrases and it's kind of, it's unfortunately we don't pick it up in the English so much, but in the Hebrew the language here is very odd. Vayicha af Shaul b'Yonatan. Shaul was fuming mad at Yonatan. Vayomelo, ben navata mardut, halo yadati ki bocherata leven Yishai levoshtecha ulevoshet ervat imecha. I'm not even sure how to translate that. You rebellious ben Navata Mardut, you son of a rebellious mother.
Here it says pervertedly rebellious.
Pervertedly rebellious. You chose Ben Yishai to the shame of you and the shame of your mother, Ulevoshet Ervat Imecha? What did this poor mother do every year? Nebuch. I mean, it's a remarkably vulgar statement for the king to express himself in this way. I mean, put it into modern terminology. You SOB. Right? Literally. Because that's what he's just said. Ben Navata Mardut. You son of a rebellious...
Also his son.
So, I mean, the Mepharshim struggle with the question of what did his mother do here? Ulevoshet ervat imecha. But the context here is important because who is Yonatan?
Crown
he's the crown prince. So if he is sided with David, meaning he's essentially giving in to the impression that he is not worthy of being the heir to the throne, he's going to hand that charge over to David, then everybody's going to ask,
who's the Malchus?
Right. Why is he not worthy of the Malchus? Why is he not... In other words, you challenge... You create doubt, you seed doubt in your own lineage, in the kashrus of your own lineage, as the crown prince, when you are so willing to hand that throne, that crown, over to somebody else.
But what was he doing that was giving up his crown? It sounded to me like it was very princely because he had the authority to tell David if he could go away. Yeah,
you are thinking rationally. And Shaul is thinking like a paranoid king who sees David as his archenemy out to get the kingdom from him. And look at the next sentence. Ki kol ha'yamim asher ben Yishai chai al adama lo tikon ata u'malchutecha. As long as Ben Yishai lives, your throne will not be established. You will not sit on the throne as long as Ben Yishai lives. It's him or me. Take or you. Him or you. Take your pick. If you side with him, you're against me. If you side with me, you're against him. You're either with me or against me. That's the mindset of a paranoid king. Yatashlach.
It also fit in that Yonatan was weak. He was the crown prince, but he was weak because he was willing to let David do what he wanted to do. And that would be a sign of weakness for him.
Maybe. I think that's probably reading. I think that's probably being a little bit too kind to Shaul. V'yata shlach v'kach oto elai. Now go and bring him to me. Bring him to me. You, Shaul, Yonatan says. Shaul says to Yonatan, you, Yonatan, you go bring me David. Ki ben mavetu. He is a dead man. Public enemy number one, guilty of treason, you are now charged with bringing him to me. Dead or alive, preferably the former. Ki ben mavetu. Vayan Yonatan el Shaul aviv v'yomer elav, lama yumalt? Masa? Masa? Says Yonatan to David, I don't get it. To Shaul, he says, I don't get it. What did he do? What did David do to you? What is this crime? Me'asa? And Shaul's answer is very dramatic. Vayatel Shaul etachanit alav lakoto. He picked up his spear. You know, this is a very common theme with Shaul. He's already done it twice to David. Now he picks up the spear, throws it or aims it at
Yonatan.
Vayeda Yonatan ki chalai me'im aviv lamitet David. At that point, Yonatan understood that Shaul is indeed determined to kill David. Vayakam Yonatan me'im shulchan bechori af. Yonatan storms out, got up, angry. V'lo achal b'yom ha'chodesh ha'shni lechem. And you know what? He didn't even eat that day. That's how angry he was. Ki ne'etzav el David ki yichlimo aviv. He was distraught, sad for David. V'hi b'boker. V'etzei Yonatan said, and then we go back to the story, right? Remember the story with the arrows. V'hi b'boker. V'etzei Yonatan said, el mo'ed David. Goes out into the fields on the day that he had arranged with David. V'nar katon imo, and he took with him this young lad. V'yomer l'naro, Rutz, mitzana tachitzim asher nochi more. Turns to his lad and he says, okay, go find the chitzim that I'm going to shoot. Hanarats, v'hu yera achetzi la'aviro. The lad ran and he shot the arrow past him. Because, of course, he wants to tell them that the arrow is thither, right? The Na'ar comes to the place where the arrow was shot. Yonatan calls out to the Na'ar and he says to him, this arrow is beyond you. Chusha al tamod. He calls out to the Na'ar again. He says, quickly, don't stand, don't tarry. Go get the arrow. Vayelaket Na'ar Yonatan et achitzim. Yonatan, the Na'ar went and he gathered the chitzim, although in the text it says chetzi, the arrow. In the Masoret of the Kri it says the arrows. Vayavo el Adonav. He came back to his master carrying the arrows with him. This was a perfectly designed plan. This Na'ar knew nothing. They went out for target practice. Only Yonatan and David understood the message embedded in this conversation. Yonatan gave the kelim to his Na'ar. He said to him, go back inside, you're done. Thank you very much, you've done your task. Hanar ba, the Na'ar came, meaning Bala. The David come etzla negev. David comes out of his hiding. Vayipol la'apav arta, fell onto his face. Vayishtachu shalosh pa'amim, he bowed down to Yonatan three times. Vayishkuish itre'eyu, they kissed one another. Vayivkuish itre'eyu, they cried together. Ad David igdil. David cried even more, because of course David was on now understood his fate. Vayomer Yonatan le David, Yonatan says to David, Lech l'shalom, go in peace. Shenishbanu shneinu achenu anachnu b'shem Hashem lemor, Hashem yeh b'nei uvenecho ben zari uven zarechad olam. And remember that we took an oath on God's name, that God will watch over and protect and be a witness to the Brit between you and me and between our seed for eternity. Vayakom eilach Yonatan b'ha'ir. David ran away and Yonatan goes back to the palace. That's Perikah. You have enough questions? To last at least a couple of weeks. All right. So what are the obvious questions?
Who was writing all this down?
At this point, I would assume either Shmuel or more likely God. But you're not even sure where to start.
Well, I mean, David already knows he's out for him.
David knows exactly what the outcome is going to be.
He wanted to hear something different from Yonatan, but he really knew already.
He knew what the outcome was going to be.
But also, Yonatan already knew.
Well, certainly by the conversation he has with his father, he knows.
Is this another thing where Ein Mugdel Menu Harba Torah? That when did this happen?
Why would you assume that this is out of order?
Because how come Yonatan went through this when the dad already told him he wants to kill him?
Well, the only conversation they had was back in chapter 19. We're going to compare it to Perek Yotet in a moment. But there, Yonatan had made peace with them, between them.
Oh, Yonatan thought, oh, he thought he would
kill right? the whole Remember back in Perek Yotet,
okay, yeah.
right? So,
yeah,
this
okay.
is, but there is a question here. I absolutely accept the fact that there is a question. This is not the first time Yonatan has heard that his father wants to kill him, and why would he be so naive as to think that no, his father doesn't want to kill him?
And
that's a fundamental question.
Why didn't his sister sort of tell him what happened with the, you know, she already had him escape once anyway.
Yeah, Perek Yotet was Michal forcing him to leave.
I can't believe Yonatan doesn't know what's going on with his sister and
right.
his best friend.
Yonatan's naivete is evident throughout this Perek, and his denial, if you will, of his father's wrath is quite surprising.
Plus, he's been the target of that himself, and the war.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I know, yeah. but
and he and his father have made up since then. But I hear that. I hear that. Right? His father was willing to kill Yonatan for treason. Yonatan doesn't. Shaul does not.
I'm just saying,
Shaul doesn't tolerate treason well. Most kings don't.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. What else is bothering us in this parak?
A lot of vows.
They're swearing. They're making vows. They're making pacts. They're making britot. They are. Yeah, there is a remarkable emphasis in this parak on the need to guarantee what the other is saying through an oath. That is
the other thing that's very weird is the whole thing with the arrows.
Right.
Because if he's sending him a signal, then you think, okay, I'm going to give you this signal, and if it's bad for you, get out of town. That means, okay, you're not going to get together and talk.
Right.
So you're just going to get together and talk. You can just say, okay, this is what happened.
Correct. That's the question all the Mefarshim struggle with. That's the biggest question in this parak. All the Mefarshim struggle with that issue. Mm-hmm. Is what happened at the end. So the whole purpose of the trick with the arrows was designed because he knew that they would never re-engage with each other, never meet each other again, because they can't. David, Yonatan certainly cannot be seen with David after, especially after Shaul has announced that he's guilty of treason and he's a ben mavet, and charged Yonatan with bringing David to him dead, preferably alive if necessary. If Yonatan is seen with David, then it's treason for Yonatan. So this trick with the arrows is fundamentally necessary. And yet, the lad goes, collects the arrows, comes back. Shaul says to him, thank you very much. You've done your job. He goes inside. Shaul and Yonatan embrace in the middle of the field. Mm. That question, we're not going to answer today, but that question is at the core of understanding this parak. And it comes up every Haftorah. Every time we read Haftorah of Macha Chodesh, that's the question that everybody asks. So what happened in the end? So we're going to have to figure out a way of addressing that question. All right. So we have a lot of work to do for this parak. But I actually want to start with the beginning part of the conversation. Now, as we have done in the past, we're going to go back and refocus piece by piece in this parak. It's actually a very interesting structure to this chapter. There are 42 psukim in this chapter. If you were to divide this chapter into two parts, where would you divide it? This is an exercise I do with my students in high school all the time, but we've never really done it here. It's an interesting exercise all by itself, dividing a chapter or dividing a story into sections, because it's a very unique exercise. Where would you divide this chapter if you had to divide it into two parts?
The discussion and the plan that Yonatan and David make.
Right. Versus?
And versus what happens.
Right. The implementation.
At the Rosh Chodesh and after.
So let's call it the planning and the implementation.
Yeah.
Where does that divide? Specifically. Right. Transition between verse 23 and 24, Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. So if you think about it, there are 42 psukim in this parak. 23 in part 1 and 21 in part 2. It's a very evenly divided parak. Most stories in Tanakh are somewhat balanced in how they're divided up. You can do this with almost any parak in Tanakh and sort of divide it up into sections. We don't do it often because it's an exercise that just kind of has to be taken somewhere. But it's a fascinating story, and it divides very evenly between, we don't see it in the Haftorah, but when you read the whole parak, it divides very evenly into two halves. One half is the plan, the other half is the implementation, and you can compare the two. And that's part of the exercise in dividing a parak like that, is it starts with a conversation about David and Yonatan about Shaul. The implementation is the conversation between between Shaul and Yonatan about David. There's the naivete of Shaul, of Yonatan in the first half, and there's the realization of the eye-opening reality check in the second half. There's the plan of the arrows, which is initially suggested by Yonatan in the first half, and then there is the implementation of the plan of the arrows in the second half. We can sort of compare the two halves of the story, literally line them up. It's an interesting exercise. It's a well-balanced story, if you will, as most Prakim and Tanakh are. But leaving that aside, I want to go back to that first half, and we're going to focus first on the conversation between David and Yonatan. And then look at a couple of issues this week and there, next year, and then we'll come back to the implementation of the story of the arrows in the next part. And this is as good a time as any to remind everybody that next Monday there's no class.
So
no class next Monday. I'm out of town, so our next class will be in 2 weeks' time.
He's got a meeting.
I'm a wedding, actually. Family wedding.
Well, I was going to say, it's Rosh Chodesh. No, just
So let's go back to the beginning of the story. In the beginning of the story, when David comes to Yonatan, Psukim Aleph through, let's say, Dalet. Vayivrach David menayot beramah. The time frame here is identified at the beginning of the perek. Where are we now in the story?
David knows for sure that Shaul wants to kill him.
Right. David is quite sure. Shaul had gone to the house of Shmuel in Nayot to have him killed. And in the end, got kind of overwhelmed with the Nevuah. The Perek that we just read, the end of Perek Yotet, story with Shmuel, that's Nayot Baramah. From there, David comes back to Yonatan. Meets him, we don't know where. Vayomer lifnei Yonatan. I'm assuming that he is meeting him in the palace or in somewhere Yonatan is has his offices or chambers as the crown prince. Why do I make that assumption? That they're in an official place, palace, house, place of authority for Yonatan. Right, because at some point or another, as the conversation gets dicey, they make the suggestion, and that's in Pasuk Yud, Vayomer David al Yonatan, Mi Agidli, O Mi Ancha Avicha Kasha, Vayomer Yonatan al David, Lecha Venetze Asadeh, Vayetzu Shneem Asadeh. So if in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says to him, let's go outside, the implication is that up until this point, they've been inside. They've been inside. They've been somewhere, stomach, where Yonatan is in a sitting in his throne, on his throne, if you will, the crown prince, and David comes to him, ostensibly to beg him to intercede or to protect him or in some way to live up to the agreement between them that they would protect each other. Comrade in arms, as they say. Me'asiti, Pasuk Aleph. Me'asiti, me'avoni, me'chatati lifnei avicha ki mevakeshet nafshi. What do I do? Your father wants to kill me. What did I do wrong? I am the innocent party here. ויאמר לו, חלילה לא תמות, הנה לא עשה דבר, אבי דבר, לא יעשה אבי דבר, גדול או דבר קטן, ולא יגלה את אוזני, ומדוע יסתיר אבי ממני את הדבר הזה? אין זאת. This can't be. My father would never try to kill you without letting me know.
Except you already did.
Well, we'll get there in a second. Right, that's Yonatan's perspective. וישבע עוד דוד ויאמר,
the reason he hasn't told you is because he knows that we have a special relationship.
He's worried, he'll be sad, he doesn't want you to be sad, you're his son, I get it, fine, but on God's life, I swear, on your life, I swear, I am but a hair's breadth from death. Whatever you want, I'll do. So David devises a plan. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to go hide instead of coming to the feast as I would otherwise have done. אם פקוד יפקדני אביך ואמרת נשאל נשאל ממני דוד לרוץ ואת לחם ירול כי זה וחיים שם לכל המשפחה. If the king asks where I am, just tell him that I've gone to Bet Lechem. And watch the eyes roll. Or just tell him that I've gone to Bet Lechem. And watch what happens. אם כה יאמר טוב שלום לעבדך, if he says great, everything's hunky-dory. But if he gets angry, then you'll know where his heart really lies. You notice there's a half a sentence missing in this, or half a phrase missing in the sentence. There's a dangling modifier, I guess, or what you would call it, an incomplete condition. If he says good, everything is fine with your servant. Or maybe you read it like this. Im ko yomar tov, if he says good. Okay, so then shalom l'avdecha. And your servant shall live in peace. V'im chano yechnelo, but if he's angry, then you will know. Ki chatar amim. And then v'asita chesed al avdecha, ki b'vid Hashem v'etet al avdecha imach. Then you protect me, because there's a bridge between us. If I've done anything wrong, then you kill me. If I'm not right, if I'm the guilty party here, I'd rather die at your hands than be handed over to him.
What's that a reference to?
No idea.
That seems weird.
It's very strange. And it's an interesting trap, because in the end, that's exactly what Shaul says to Yonatan to do.
Tells him to kill him.
Tells him to bring him to me.
But he's dead or alive.
Well, I embellished that. But in the end, he says to him, Atash lach v'kachoto elai ki ben mavatu. Go and bring him to me, because he is a dead man, meaning he's guilty of treason. So I'm charging you with the task of bringing him to me, which is, in a sense, what David had foreshadowed. Although I don't know if David had anticipated that or not. So then you have this pause in the middle of the conversation in Pasuk Tet. Vayomer Yonatan, I'm not quite sure what that pause reflects, if except maybe a hesitation, a wonder, typically a pause, a break in the middle of a conversation is usually a pause. Could be that it's Yonatan rethinking David's words, concerned about David's accusation. But his response is, Vayomer Yonatan, Chalila lach, takes an oath. I swear to you. If I know that my father wants to kill you, you don't think I'll come and tell you? Vayomer David o Yonatan. And this conversation is just completely disjointed. Mi yagidli, who's going to come and tell me? Well, Yonatan just said, I'll come and tell you. If my father, if your father wants to kill me, who's going to come and let me know? So at that point, Yonatan says, you know what? We can't do this here. Let's go out into the field. And they go out into the field. Why are they going out into the field? The whole, this is transition after transition, conversation that's curtailed, conversation that's got pause in, a conversation that's got half sentences in it, accusations and oaths. And in the end, in the middle of it, Yonatan says, you know what? Let's go out into the field.
Maybe it was like Tachos. I'll know where you are. You'll know where I'm going to stand.
Maybe. Maybe they're working it out.
Strategic.
Dress rehearsal.
ויאמר יונתן
אל דוד, השם אלוקי ישראל, כי אחקור את אבי כעת מחר השלישית, והנה טוב אל דוד, ולא אז אשלח אליך וגיליתי את אוזניך. יונתן says to David, takes an oath on God's name, I will test my father, I will investigate my father, I will question him, אחקור את אבי, today, the third day, and it will be good for David, הנה טוב אל דוד, and if it will be good, I will come and tell you. Vigiliti otoznecha. Koyas Hashem Yonatan Machoyasiv Kieti Velavi Vela Etera Ailecha. How do they translate that phrase? It's a very interesting phrase. Kieti Velavi Etera Ailecha. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
And the Lord will be with thee as he has been with my father. And thou shalt not, only while yet I live, even before I die, show me the light love of his of the Lord.
No. 13. Yud Gimel.
If it pleases my father to harm you, I will reveal it to you.
Right. If it pleases my father to harm you. Interesting phrase. Ki yetiv el avi et hara'a. If my father's will to kill you is good.
Here in the Jerusalem it says, if it please thy father to do thee evil, then I will let thee know and send thee away.
Right.
That thou may go in peace.
That's right. That's exactly right. But the phrase in Hebrew, ki yetiv et avi el ra'ah, if it pleases my father to do you evil, it's an interesting phrase for Yonatan. V'cho yasif ki yetiv et avi et ra'ah elecha. So then I'll let you know, and I'll send you on your way. Don't worry. Do not worry. If in fact, if my father wants to kill you, I will not hold you back. I will let you go, and you may go in peace. And may God be with you as he was with my father. And then he makes a brit with him, and he says, if that's the case, I want a brit with you, that we will remain in our pact together for eternity. And they take an oath that they will stay loyal to each other till the end of their days. And then Shaul devises this plan with the arrows.
Well, so that sort of shows that Yonatan knows that he's not going to be king and David's going to be king. No?
Oh, I think Yonatan always knew that David was going to be king.
Maybe that's the whole thing about the Brit, because usually it wasn't the king.
Oh, Yonatan always knew that David was going to be king and not him. He knew that the moment David married Michal. It's clear that his loyalty to David was with an awareness that Yonatan was going to, whether by abdicating or by handing it over to him. Remember when he handed over this uniform back in the very beginning, whatever it was, when David was fighting the Plishtim and Yonatan didn't have a sword, so Yonatan gave him his sword. That's how it all began. Mm. I think from that moment he knew that David was destined to be king and not him. And he had no problem with that. It did not bother Yonatan in the least to understand that David was going to be king and not him. It only bothered Shaul. Certainly did not bother David. Yonatan, he says it explicitly. He hasn't said it explicitly yet, but he will say it explicitly. He'll say it in Perikhof. Gimel. Pasuk Tet Zayin. And this is okay. Granted, this is after the David runs and after this thing has become an open public civil war. But nonetheless, you sort of hear what Yonatan has been thinking all along. Vayakom Yonatan ben Shaul vayelech al David chorsha vayechazek et yado be'elokim. They're in the middle of a war between David and Yonatan, between Shaul and David. Yonatan kind of gets up secretly and he goes and he meets with David. Vayomer elav, and he says to David, Al tira, ki lo timtza acha yad Shaul avi. If my father Shaul will not find you, don't be afraid. You will one day be king over Israel. I will be your assistant. I will be your second. But I know who the real king is. And you know what? My father knows it too. And they make another brit. Yonatan goes home and David continues to hide. So Yonatan is keenly aware that David is destined to be the king. He just doesn't think it's such a terrible thing.
No, but I'm saying for somebody who's like copacetic with him, they sure making a lot of brit.
Yeah, okay, so that's true. The question of trust between Yonatan and David is going to be a subject we're going to address. It's a major issue in this parak. And we see already the challenges of that relationship. We're going to explore that in detail. That is absolutely one of the major issues. I want to start, just turn the page back, one page, back to Yud-Tet for a second. I want to start with a comparison to the previous parak, because this is really an issue that in a certain sense boggles the mind. One chapter ago, which is not that long ago, sometimes between one chapter and another chapter you can have years, but between chapter 19 and chapter 20 there's a direct correlation. From chapter 19 was where Shaul tried to kill David. David ran, or he went home. Michal helped him escape. And he runs to Shmuel. And how long he stays with Shmuel, we don't know. That's true. There's a little bit of time there. Shaul comes to try to kill him there. Shmuel saves him. And then Parakhaf begins, Vayivrach David menayot baramav, Vayavo vayomer lifnei Yonatan. He comes back to speak before Yonatan. So these two prakim are connected. The opening sentence of Perek Chaf links us back to Perek Yutet. The problem in Perek Yutet is that if you look at the beginning of the Perek, this story has already happened. Vayomer Shaul el Yonatan beno. Shaul lets Yonatan, his son, know. Ve'el kol avadav, and his inner circle of servants, lahamid David. He wants to kill David. So who does he confide in this great secret?
What verse are you on?
Beginning of Perek Yutet. Beginning of Perek Yutet. Vayedaber. What?
Okay.
Wait, no, it gets better. Vayedaber Shaul el Yonatan beno ve'el kol avadav lamita David. Shaul wanted to kill David, so he told Yonatan and his inner circle, I guess his equivalent of the
his guards.
Here is the Secret Service of
Security.
Well, V'Yonatan ben Shaul, his Mossad agents. V'Yonatan ben Shaul, chafetz b'David me'od. Yonatan ben Shaul, he loved David. Now, that phrase is in itself a very powerful phrase, because how many times do you need to be told that Yonatan is Shaul's son? Vayedaber Shaul el Yonatan bino. Shaul told Yonatan his son. V'Yonatan ben Shaul chafetz b'David mod. And Yonatan ben Shaul loved David. So what's the point of telling me that he's been Sha'ul twice?
But it could have been so different for Sha'ul.
Where do you put your loyalty?
But the tension here is about Yonatan. Yonatan's place is in, what's the expression, between a rock and a hard place? Between his loyalty to his father and his loyalty to David. And it's a remarkable tension. We should never know from such a tension. But that's the challenge to Yonatan. That's the challenge to Yonatan through the whole story. Is where are his loyalties? That's what David challenges him with when he says to him, don't hand me over to your father. That's what Sha'ul tests him with when he says, go bring me David. Yonatan is constantly torn between his loyalty to his father and his relationship and his friendship and his brit with David.
Maybe that's why there's a need to keep having one.
That could very well. That could very well be. It could very well be, and we will come to that, Bezrat Hashem. In the meantime, let's go back to the beginning of Perek Yotet. Vayaged Yonatan to David Lemor, Mivakesh Sha'ul Avi Lamitacha. Guess what? What did Sha'ul do?
Wants to kill you.
He runs right to David, and he tells him, my father wants to kill you. So he devises a plan. He says to David, let's go out into the field, and you're going to hide. Sound familiar? I'm going to go out with my father. We're going to go on our morning walk in the rose garden. And we're going to have a conversation. In the field, where you are. I'm going to mention your name to my father. Just mention your name. Let's see his reaction. And I'll tell you. So it exactly happens. Sha'ul spoke a few nice things about David, a couple of compliments well placed in the conversation with Sha'ul. He says to his father, "Al yechata melech be'avdod b'David, ki lo chatalach v'chim asav tov lach ma'od." But he says to his father, "What are you trying to kill him for?" Remember, his father had just told him that he wants to kill him. So Yonatan says to his father, "Why are you out for David? After all, David's so loyal to you, and he's so good to you, and he's fought all your wars, and he's fought your battles, and he's married to your daughter." Vayasem et nasho b'chapo. He risked his life. He smote the Philistine. He's the cause of the great victories in Israel. You rejoiced. You celebrated. Why are you going to spill innocent blood? Why are you going to dirty your hands with innocent blood to kill David? Sha'ul's reaction. Vayishma Sha'ul b'kol Yonatan. Vayishava Sha'ul. Chai Hashem im Yumat. Sha'ul heard, processed, and said to David, you know what? You're right. On God's life, I will not harm David. I take an oath. Vayikra Yonatan to David. Yonatan calls over David after this conversation is over. Vayagad lo Yonatan at kol dvarim me'ele. And he tells him the conversation. Yonatan brought David back to the palace, back to Sha'ul, and he sat and he played his music for him as he did the day before and the day before that. And everybody lived happily ever after. Until Vatosef HaMilchamaliyot. And until the next battle, until the next war with the Plishtim, and until the next time that David was victorious in battle. And Vatiruach Hashem Ra'ah El Sha'ul, and Sha'ul was afraid, and Sha'ul was overwhelmed by this Ruach Ra'ah, and then they're in the house sitting, and then his chanit is in his hand, and boom, it goes and it lands on the wall, and David misses it by a hair's breadth, and David runs to Michal, and Michal saves his life. That's the beginning of Perek Yotet. So, I ask you, what's the problem?
Yonatan already knows that the dad has it in for him.
These two stories are, if I put them back to back, there's a certain parallel between them, there's a certain similarity between them. In both cases, Yonatan is being placed in a position to investigate his father's desire to kill David. In both cases, David is hiding in the fields because they cannot meet in person. I can't listen to this conversation directly. And in both cases, Yonatan is the interlocutor between Shaul and David. But what a difference between them. The world is turned upside down in the chapter. Yonatan, on the one hand, is the one informed that his father wants to kill him. And in our chapter, David informs Yonatan, and Yonatan can't believe it. And the reason he can't believe it is very simple.
He thought he took care of it.
Exactly, he thought he took care of it already. Already a chapter ago. What are you talking about? I had this conversation. My father promised me he wouldn't touch you.
So where was Yonatan when his father changed his mind?
Right. And that's why David says to him, your father's not telling you the whole story. Right? He says to him, your father doesn't want to make you distraught. So he's giving you a story, but there's a reality here. I'm the one who's ducking arrows thrown at my head. The Mefarshim struggle with the juxtaposition of these two chapters and the seeming incongruity in the timeline. It's one chapter later, and Shaul seems remarkably naive, remarkably uninformed. Yonatan, remarkably naive, remarkably uninformed, remarkably in denial. And more importantly, and this is really the piece that's astounding, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. What is the expectation at Rosh Chodesh? Had David not designed this plan, or Yonatan had not designed this plan, what was the expectation in that Rosh Chodesh feast for David?
That everybody would show up.
Including David. But David is going to go back and sit next to Shaul and have a meal with him after they tried to kill him twice, after he ran from the palace, after he was nearly escaped with his life in Nayot Ramah. David's going to come back to the palace and live happily ever after and sit and break bread with the king. So they devise a plan with Chodesh to disappear, but that's a test. And were it not the Rosh Chodesh test, what was he going to do? Go back and it seems to imply that that's what happened. Perakov, Pasuk Hey. Vayomer David o Yonatan, ine chodesh machar, v'anochi yoshev v'shev im ha-melech le'achol. Behold, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, I'm supposed to be eating next to the king. What's the havamina? What's the expectation that David is going to go back and eat in the palace? Shaul wants to kill him.
But maybe somebody thought Shaul thought better of it after he went to Nayot. It doesn't say anything there after that.
Doesn't say a word. We don't know what happened. Maybe he regretted it. Maybe he did tshuva from it. Maybe he turned back. We don't know.
Another weird thing is he runs away from Shaul, and then after this whole episode, he goes back to Yerushalayim. Seems weird.
Right.
You're going back to the scene of the crime.
Well, Yerushalayim doesn't exist yet, but he's going back to wherever the palace is, right?
Okay.
Yer David doesn't exist yet either.
It's
the palace of Shaul is not anywhere near Yer David. Yer David is a Jebusite city.
Where were they, actually?
Shaul's palace was probably in somewhere in Shevet Binyamin.
Okay.
Yerushalayim doesn't exist yet. David conquers Yerushalayim in Perek Hay of Shmuel Bet.
Okay, that's far away.
So we're a ways there. So I'm going to, we have 5 minutes left. Okay. Maybe we'll pass these out. In 5 minutes, we can begin to explore the questions. The questions we've asked many questions. We've asked a question about, let's just do a quick summary. Relationship between Shaul and Yonatan. Yonatan's naivete over his father's desire to kill him, compare it to Perakraf. The design, the plan to have David hide in the field while Shaul and Yonatan have a conversation, we've already seen. That was exactly the plan in Perek Yetet. It's exactly the same plan in Perek Chaf, with certain differences. But the differences are so insignificant compared to the fundamental. What is the relationship between Perek Yetet and Perek Chaf? So here, I'll share with you what the Radak's address to these questions. We'll start. And then we'll take it. This is not the show. Next class, we'll kind of pick up from here and take it one step further. But I want to at least see the formulation of the questions. Yesh lish'ol. This is a Radak. All the Mefarshim ask this question, but the Radak formulates it most extensively. He says, one can ask the following question. Hech haya mafticho Yonatan al sheker. How could Yonatan promise to protect David falsely? Meaning, there was no hope that Yonatan was going to be able to protect him from his father's wrath. How could he say that, I don't know anything about my father trying to kill you, what are you talking about? Everybody was aware that he was out to kill him. He was running through the kingdom with his army, out to kill him. Now the truth is, I could make a case that up until this point it's not public. Because all he told was his inner circle, his avadav, and the mishlachat, the messengers that he sent to Nayot Barama, were the same avadav, the same group. So I could make the case that it's not yet public. Radak assumes it is public. Certainly by the end of Perek Chaf, at that point, it's certainly public, because Shaul's wrath was demonstrated where?
When he goes, sends the army to get him out of his house with Michal.
No, that's the same Avadav, group. But in Perek Chaf, in our Perek, it's certainly, by the time our Perek ends, it's certainly public. Because Shaul's wrath was displayed where? At the party. At the Mishteh of Rosh Chodesh. That's not a private event. Okay, that's a very public steak dinner. So now, it's clearly out in the open. But it could be argued that in Perek Yetet, it's still in the inner circle. Maybe. The Radak wants to assume it's public. Ella, what was the issue? Haya choshev Yonatan shelo haya balev aviv lamito achar shenishbalo. Yonatan really thought that after he had taken, that his father had sworn to him back in Perek Yetet, that his father had truly had remorse and that he wasn't going to do this anymore. Ve'amar achay Hashem yumat, he took an oath that he won't kill him. In Perek Yutet, just a few verses later, he threw the spear at him. And the fact that he sent messengers to the house of Michal to have him killed. And the fact that he sent messengers and he ran after him to Nayot Barama to have him killed. Three times, subsequent to that oath, he tried to have David killed. Right? Do we count correctly? Three times. By the Chanit, in the Michal's house, and in Nayot Barama. So either Shaul is Yonatan is so naive and so unaware that he doesn't know anything that's going on in the kingdom. He's the crown prince, it's hard to process that. Or, Haya Choshev Yonatan, all of this was driven by that evil spirit, that Ruach Ra'ah, that would overwhelm Shaul from time to time.
Sorry. So how can you have confidence in a person like
that? Oh. Ki lo haita ruach ra'ah. And then he said to him that this Ruach Ra'ah was only periodically, wasn't consistent. After the oath that he took with him, he didn't want to kill him right away. It was only because another moment of melancholy overwhelmed him. Therefore, says Yonatan to David, Yonatan says, I can protect you. I can protect you from those moments when my father has those bouts of Ruach Ra. Even though David was sitting and playing the music, the harp before him at those moments, Shlo yamod lemuno. Yonatan said, I'm going to stand between us. I'm going to be a buffer. I'm going to make sure you're not sitting next to him, that you're standing next to him. I'm going to protect you. I know it's going on. I'm aware of it. My father doesn't really want to kill you. It's really all this ruach ra'ah stuff. So I'm aware of it. I'm going to intervene. Don't worry. Trust me. I can handle it. We know that really Shaul wanted to kill him even without the ruach ra'ah. But he didn't tell Shaul that. Either because he didn't want to violate his oath, or because he didn't want Yonatan to be upset, as he had told him. Look at the next line, which is in bold. Now, David doesn't buy it. Right? Clearly, David doesn't buy it. But look at the next line in bold. V'ni'eh, ki hechziro Yonatan lifnei aviv achar ma'asen ayot v'ya b'shulchan aviv ki yom b'yom. It seems that Yonatan brought David back into the palace, to the father's table, to eat with him, to play the harp for him. Kmo shomer banochi yoshev yoshev imemalach lachol klomam min hagi lishevet imo b'shulchano yom b'yom. It's my custom to sit with him day after day, to eat bread, bake bread with him, to play his harp for him. And after pichanei yared David, yamal Yonatan ki b'zei b'chen. In other words, according to the Radak, Yonatan is living in this naive world of we're all live happily ever after. Why? Because I'm aware of this ruach ra'ah, and I can deal with it. I can protect you. And he brings him back, and he puts him at the table, and maybe it works for a little bit of time. Maybe he's able to. But he says, this is not Shaul. This is not my father in his soul. This is this ruach ra'ah. This is the devil made me do it. So I'll protect you from the devil. I'll stand between you. I'll be a buffer. David, it's all fine. My father really loves you. You're his son-in-law. Come on, get with the program. And David says to him, you're living in a dream world. I love your naivete, but you don't have a clue what's going on. And this is the crack that's growing between them.
So what is David thinking differently? Was he thinking that Shaul, why didn't he agree with Yonatan's view?
Because he knew his Shaul better than Yonatan did.
So he knew that it was not just the Ruach Ra'ah, but it was...
Even the Radak says that it was not just the Ruach Ra'ah. Shaul really wanted to have him killed. We see that. Just Yonatan didn't believe it, right? This is
where did we see that, though? I mean, we didn't know whether he was under the control of the Ruach Ra'ah at the time.
After Nayot Baramah, you will never find the phrase Ruach Ra'ah with regards to Shaul again. Disappears. This isn't about Ruach Ra'ah, really. In the pshat of it, Ruach Ra'ah is an expression of fear. It's not really a function of. But I think that's part of the naivete. It's part of the conversation between David and Yonatan. There's much more here. This is only the beginning. We've only scratched the surface. We will, Bezrat Hashem, continue this discussion in 2 weeks' time. Because next week we are off.